For a couple of weeks now, are going through a series of preaching on the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi. And the title is, He Changes Not. He Changes Not. And we're going to read and pray and sit. We're going to read Malachi chapter 3, verses 6. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6. It says, For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment again before you. We thank you for this day. And we thank you for the word that you have for us. We give you praise. We give you honor. And we open our heart before you, O God. We pray that you fill our hearts with you. Fill our heart with your truth. Fill our heart with your light and your life. Fill us with the word. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. All the time, the Lord is good. Amen. So, the book of Malachi is an oracle. And when you say oracle, it means it's a word that comes directly from God through Malachi to his people. And Malachi, the book of Malachi, is the last book of the Old Testament. And the prophecy of Malachi is the last prophecy preceding the coming of Jesus. But between the prophecy of Malachi to the coming of Jesus, it took 400 and some years. And between those times, through the 400 years, there was no prophecy, there was no prophet until Jesus came. So it is the preceding prophecy to the coming of Jesus. And this prophecy is addressed to the people of God, the chosen people of God. It was addressed to Israel. Malachi, his preaching was kind of a contrast with the preaching of Nehemiah. Remember Nehemiah. Nehemiah is the one who came back from exile, blessed by the king that he was serving because he was the cupbearer of that king, and the name of the king was Artaxerxes. I don't know how to pronounce that, but he was a good king. So the king allowed Nehemiah to come back to rebuild Jerusalem because the enemy who had taken them to exile had also burnt down the whole city, all the gates, and destroyed the city. The remnant, the people that were left, were just in misery. So God raised Nehemiah and God touched the heart of the king, and the king sent Nehemiah back. And Nehemiah built the house, not only the city, he rebuilt all the gates of the city, and he rebuilt the whole wall around the city, and he rebuilt also the temple. So, the exiled people, they came back. The Israelites came back from their exile. And they went back to life as it was before. Moreover, they didn't learn too much about their exile in a positive way. They learned so many negative things, things that the Lord, their God, through the commandment given to Moses, has forbidden. They came back, and that's what they were doing in Israel. God raised Malachi, and he had to talk the truth to the people of Israel. So last week, we read from verse 1 all the way to verse 2, and we did not finish. Today, we're going to read all the way to chapter 4. It's not a long reading. But what I want you to focus on here is contrasting what was happening in the temple of God at the time of Malachi. And remember that it was a time preceding the coming of Jesus. So contrast that time to the time that we are living, knowing that Jesus is coming back again. I want to precise this time that he is not coming to sit and teach. He is not coming to refine and make right. He is coming to prune all those who are ready. Because he has preached and he has prophesied and he has prayed before he got back to the Father. And he said, I am going back to prepare a place. And when I'm done preparing the place, I'm coming back to fetch you. And he has said, not all those who say, Lord, Lord, shall be saved that day. And that makes me scared. He said, only those who will do the will of God, only those shall be taken. Those who stay in the boat, no matter what, those who don't divert themselves with what is going out there. Those who don't sit on the same bench with scornful people. Amen? So, while we're reading, please think of that time while contrasting it with the time that we are living in. Amen? We will start with Malachi chapter 2, and we will start with verses 17. It reads like that in the English Standard Version. I'm reading in the English Standard Version. It's easier English to understand for those who have English for a second language. And I would love to have read the King James one, but it's not given to everybody to understand it. And believe me, it is difficult to read. So, the English Standard Version says, Malachi, chapter 2, verses 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, but you say, how have we worried him? And the Lord answers, by saying, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. And he delights in them. Or by asking, where is the God of justice? So, the children of Israel, they came back from exile, and instead of getting back into the commandments of God, the life that was traced in front of them so that they follow, when they came back, they started doing things that they should not do. They started living life like it is lived out there. They started mixing things of the world with the things of God in God's house. I wonder if you see like me what is going on in the Christian churches and the Christian lives today. Let's continue our reading. Behold, that's now chapter 3. We will read from chapter 3 all the way to chapter 4. Behold, I send my messenger and he will prepare the way before me. That's John the Baptist. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's shop. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offering in righteousness to the Lord. Think of a little bit. When Jesus came, all he did is teach. Where? In the temple. In the temple. When he came, he had no problem with nobody but the Levites in the temple. He taught them. He had no problem with nobody but the Pharisees. To the point where he called them white sepulchres. Because they did not do what God wants them to do. And he said, not only you're not going to heaven, but you're hindering my people to go to heaven. That's the Bible. I'm preaching that because myself, I'm scared that I won't make it. I'm preaching that because it's easy to forget that we have a mandate, a commission, and a mission. That's what the Pharisees at the time of Malachi forgot. That's what the people in the temple of the time of Malachi forgot. And what was happening? They were living just like the world. Proceeding our reading, you will understand why I say that. Verse 3. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. This time it's not going to be the same. When Jesus comes, it's going to be in a blink of an eye, and all those who are ready will leave. So we better get ready. Verse 4. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. This time, we're going to heaven. And life is going to be even better than when Adam and Eve had not yet sinned against God. For they were in a garden, but we will walk in streets of gold. Hallelujah. There will be no sorrow. There will be no suffering. There will be no poverty. There will be no gnashing of teeth. Verse 5. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widows and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is he going to do? He will judge. And here, look, there is, I would say, four things that he will punish. He will punish those who swear falsely, those who oppress the worker in his wages, those who oppress the widow and the orphans, those who are against the sojourner. What is a sojourner? An alien and a stranger in the country. And those who do not fear God. That was then. What is it now? Make the contrast. Teach yourself about it. And if you are hearing me, save yourself from the perishing world. If you are hearing me, get back to God, not to the world, not to people. Think about his word, what he has commanded you to do, not what you want to do, not what the world is exciting you to do. He's coming back, not to take everyone. He's coming back, not to plead with people. He's coming back, not to sit and teach. He's coming back to get those who are ready. Verse 5. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. So he was coming to judge and refine. Now he is coming just to pick up those who are ready. The judgment is now with us. If we read this Bible, we comment about it, and we do not practice it, we are already judged, condemned. If we know what it's preaching, what it is teaching and we don't apply it to our lives, we are just like those of the time of Malachi. And the Prince of Peace is not coming to refine anymore. He's coming to pick up those who have kept their robes clean, white. Let's go to verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? And the Lord answers, in your tithes and offerings. Really, I got to tell you that the book of Malachi, all the time that I have heard people preach from this book, is to make people aware of the importance of tithing and offering. It's not a bad thing, but it's not all that is in here. Because your tithe and your offering are in your hands, and you're dealing with God. Amen? But what the world is pushing in your life is in the world, and you have to push it out. Am I making any sense here? Your tithe is in your hands. Your offerings are in your hands. And you can decide to obey God or not. But what is in the world that entered the temple at the time of Malachi is the same world with the things of the world pushing into the church of God, pushing into the life of the people of God, pushing into the minds. And that's the danger. When your mind is taken over, it's difficult to get away. It's difficult to get away. It takes God to come back and change it. But we have this capacity that God has given us to say no. You are not going to occupy my mind. I can repulse it. Don't let it come to church. Don't let it come to your life. Don't let it occupy your mind. So your tithe and your contributions and your offerings, if you are not, I would say, careful with it, that will be your curse. Because the Lord says, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me. The world, the whole nation of you. That was what they did at that time. At the time of Malachi. Everyone was just coming to church on Sabbath day to just be there in conformity of the law of Moses. It was void. It was empty. It was not substantial to God. And people were coming with sacrifices that were rotted, not worthy of God. They knew better, and they would bring blind animals to sacrifice to God. They knew better. And when they have their crop in the silos, they won't bring the tithe to God. When they have raised their cattle and they have so good crop. They have so good animals in their in their stall. They won't give God the best of the animals. They would bring to God what was lame, what was one-eyed, what was sick. Or they will go steal from others to come and give to God. God is in abomination with that. We may not be doing that today. But what are we doing with what Jesus has left with us? One commandment, the new commandment that overtakes all the commandments. Not only the commandments given to Moses, but the commandments, even the laws of this world. That new commandment is, it precedes every commandment. And it goes beyond every commandment. It covers every commandment. And that commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your might. And you shall love your neighbor like yourself. And Paul says, there is no law against doing that. There is no law. Those people came back from exile. They came back from exile. They learned the worst practice that was there when they were in exile. Widow, they don't know. Orphan, they don't know. Stranger, get out of my way. They want to oppress everybody, take what they got, what they don't even have, and just leave like a Nigerians say, Kogai. This is happening today. Today. And the house of the Lord is not spared. It is even happening in the house of the Lord. Let's be careful. I'm going to verse 11. I will rebuke the devourer if you bring your tithe and your offerings. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the fields shall not well to bear fruits, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. See, he is good. God is so good. He's so good. He will send the Savior. And the Savior will come and teach and refine. And if we obey, he will bless. He will take away the curse. This time, when he comes, we will not have this time. We will not have this kind of grace anymore. It's going to be gone. You either be left or you're gone. Two people in the same bed, one will be gone and the other left. Two people in the same field, one be gone and the other left. We got to be careful. We got to be careful. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? Verse 14. You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? quick run to the money, quick run to the powers, quick run to the positions, quick runs to prestiges. For in the house of the Lord, there is no prestige, there is no ranks, there is no money, there is no let's do what those Israelites, those Pharisees and those Sadducees at the time of Malachi did. Come to church, sing the hymns, be there to show that you are a Jew. Get out and do whatever is against the law of Moses. So you say it's vain to serve God. He is not coming, so let's do business while he is not coming. Why am I going to be at church every day? While there is business out there, I can go deal with whatsoever I can deal with. And he gave us 6 days to work. 1 day, put it aside to worship him. We can't do that. And now, we call the arrogant blessed. Ha! Ha! Yeah! He speaks well. Does he speak the word of God? No. But since he speaks well, he is the blessed one. What he says is an alignment with what we think. So, he is the blessed of God. While, check it with this book. Check it with this book. If it is not aligned with this book, it's not of God. Verse 16. Then those who fear the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. There will be a book of remembrance of all you do for the Lord. Of all your mourning before the Lord. Of all your restraining yourself from the world. God will remember that. God will remember that. And he says, they shall be mine in the day when I make up my treasury, my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. See? See? Then once more, you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. Between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. That would be late, and it would be unfortunate, and it would be really a gnashing of teeth, because there will be no more grace. It will be taken away, and the judgment is full. The judgment is full. It is forever. Chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stumbled. The day that is coming, shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither roots nor branch. The day is coming. He warned us before he went. He gave us all the direction of life that we should live. We should check and check and check and check. It is here. It is here. The manual of life. Bishop says always, this is our manual of life. If it is not here, don't do it. If it is here, apply it to your life. Verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise and will with healing in its wings. You shall go out, leaping like calves from the stall. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be walking on the streets of gold, living a life without suffering, living a life without anxiety, living a life without fear. Amen? I want to live that life. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soil of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I have commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. I would paraphrase that saying, remember the commission of Jesus. Remember the teaching of Jesus. Remember the commandment of Jesus and practice them. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their father, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Here is the Elijah of today. Here is the Elijah of today. Listen to this Elijah, and you will do good. Listen to this Elijah, and you will do good. If anybody comes behind this pulpit and preaches anything against this Elijah, the Bible says he is a curse, and I'm not going to be a curse. This is the Elijah of our day. It contains everything that we need to know, live by, to not be surprised on the day of the coming of the Lord. I want to go backwards to chapter 2, and I want to just read verses 1-4. It says, and now, O priest, this command is for you. If you are a pastor, you are a priest. If you are in any responsibility in the church, you are a priest. You doing? Kids rages, you are a preach. You leading the youth, you are a priest. Not only in Calvary Gospel Church, but everywhere the name of the Lord has created a church for the name of the Lord. You are a priest. I am a priest. Huh. Let's listen together. If you will not listen, huh? If you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. Wow. Wow. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your face, the dung of the offerings, your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. Scary. Scary. So shall you know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. How am I standing vis-a-vis the commandment of Jesus? How am I standing vis-a-vis the will of God? How am I standing? Priest, this commandment is for you. So you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace. Huh? And I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear. And he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. Are we standing in awe of the name of God? Or are we doing what the world is pressing into us? True instruction was in his mouth. And no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. Are we doing just that? Or is our covenant with God forgotten? Are we walking in peace? Are we peacemakers? Are we bringing in, or are we rejecting out? Are we saving souls, or are we booting them out? Are we helping to lift up, or are we helping to push down? Listen to verse 7 and listen carefully. And I'm going to stop preaching from here. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Let me read that again. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. if we are speaking anyhow, if we are doing things anyhow, if on Facebook, the priest that you are is just writing anything, if you are thinking that the Lord is not coming, so we have to do what we beat up whosoever is opposing us. Chase away anybody who is not from the neighborhood. God is talking to us here. People need to come to us. The church is where every person on this earth should turn to, because the truth of the Lord is in the church. Anywhere, everywhere, people will run to the left, they will run to the right. They will look forward, look backward, and they won't find a solution. They won't find an answer to their problem, but in church, because we have the Elijah of the time. We have the truth. We are the one commissioned. We are the one who have been sent to get these people out of the darkness. They can't go anywhere else but here, because we have the Elijah of the day. I want to finish by saying this. If I know that I'm going to somebody's house, and I won't find peace in that house, I'm not going. If I'm going to somebody's house and I know that I won't find love, I'm not going to that house. I want to be in peace. I want to be in love. I want to participate in a life that these people are spreading, extolling, extending, expressing, showing. We are the priests, the priest of the time of Jesus. Maybe he's gone more than 2,000 years. He said he's coming. He's coming soon. And it's now more than 2,000 years. So we're thinking, he's taking too long to come. He's taking too long to come. So let's run out there and do things and come back. Or let's just do things our ways and wait for the sign. And it's not going to be on our time. It's going to be on his time. And it's not going to be like we want it to be. It's going to be in his way. And he said it's going to be swift. It's going to be swift. We will not have time to revise our ways. We will just be quickened out. So my brother, my sister, it's the word of God, not my word. And I'm not afraid to be questioned because I preach what I preach. For I know it's the word of God. It's not my word. But I pray, God, with all my heart that he quicken your mind to understand that we are in a perilous time We are in a perilous time. There is much to lose right now than to gain. For myself, I pray day and night, God, make sure you don't let me slide and go out there and be lost. The devil has all the astuces. I'm talking French now. There's astuces. It's like means to poke you and get you to do what he wants you to do. For everything that pertains to my convenience, I don't want nobody around it. I don't want any hands on it. So the devil will make sure to talk to your mind, talk to your ears. This is against your conveniency. It is against your better living. It is against your wellness. And then I'm not letting it happen. God, wait a minute. I got to make this straight first. It will lead you to not love, but hate. It will lead you to kill. It will lead you to destroy others. It will lead you to chase souls away. It will lead you to not do what you have been called to do. Because you're thinking about you, not about him. You're thinking about you, not about who he said you should love. Get lost easily because the world has these astuces and it gets us also. I've been seeing it, I've been hearing it, I've been just thinking, are we serious? Because in Africa, when I was there, I wanted to live like those in America who are just doing what the Bible says do. I wanted to live just like Christians that in America they are so Christians that there is what I'm reading, what I'm hearing, it makes me think, is it true? Is it true that we all believe in this? Is it true that we all follow this teaching? Is it true that we are all sons and daughters of God? Is it true that we are all seeking to go to heaven? Is it true? It doesn't look like. It doesn't look like it is true that we are all thinking of the same thing. God help us. God help us. Father, I pray as you speak to me, as you speak to us, King, Master, Savior, don't come and chill. You have gotten me in the right way. For if you come before I have corrected it, I'm going to be lost. And it's going to be unfortunate. For I have known the truth. For I have experienced your grace, your love. And I don't want to lose the eternity that you have promised. I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister. I pray for your church. I pray for your people. Father, we have the Holy Ghost. Speak to us individually. Speak to us deeply. Speak to us every day. Bring us back. Bring us back to your covenant, to your commandment.